Breaking Free by Shira Saad, read by Cookie Mom 6067. Jim Kirk prided himself on knowing himself well, both as an officer and generally as a human being. He was aware of his strengths as well as his weaknesses, a necessity for someone who wanted to be captain one day. Therefore, it was no surprise to him when he found the science officer of the Enterprise incredibly attractive. Competence was one of Jim's biggest turn-ons. He knew this about himself. And Lieutenant Spock was nothing if not competent. Smiling ruefully to himself, Jim took a sip from his post-shift drink, which he'd figured he deserved after the strangeness of this day. During the crisis with the improbability field, the science officer had not only fulfilled his role perfectly, collating data and presenting it along with possible solutions, but managed to break down the information so the rest of them could understand it, well, mostly. And all of this in a voice so deep and smooth, Jim had felt it like a caress against his skin. It didn't help that Spock was also physically very attractive, as many Vulcans were, his features even and his body strong. Yet what Jim liked best were his eyes, which somehow managed to be incredibly expressive, shifting from brown to green, even as their owner's expression remained stoic and calm. Jim really stood no chance, and he didn't put up much of a fight. During his travels, he ran into many attractive beings, some of which even showed interest in him, like La'an, the beautiful security chief, who'd allowed him a precious glimpse behind her closed-off facade. The regret he'd expressed when he let her down gently had been entirely genuine. After all, she possessed many of the same traits that drew Jim to Spock, and in addition, he usually leaned more towards the female end of the spectrum when it came to his partners in serious relationships. Not that it mattered, in this case anyway. Becoming a father wasn't something to treat lightly, and he'd promised Carol to give her proposal of joining her on Starbase One, or at least asking for a posting near Earth serious consideration. Neither one of them expected their romantic relationship to last, but Carol had made it clear that Jim would have to be the one to adapt if he wanted to be a part of his son's life at all. Also, La'an and Spock were fixtures on the Enterprise, and as much as Jim dreamed of one day having a ship like her, for now he had to put in his time on the Farragut and wherever else his career took him. Jim's conscience gave a guilty start when he realized how naturally his thoughts had wandered away from Carol's pregnancy back to his current Starfleet career, a career that would keep him far away from Earth most of the time. Had he already chosen his path? He wondered if he'd promised too much, if his decision had been made for him long before he met Carol. After all, he'd dreamed of the stars for most of his life. As a small boy, he'd loved his father's stories of discovery and adventure, had wanted to make a positive difference the way George Kirk had, and on Tarsis IV, the constellations in the night sky had been what gave him hope. Even when Finnegan made his life at the Academy hell, he'd never once doubted his decision to join Starfleet. So maybe he didn't need any more time to decide. Maybe all he needed was time to grieve for his chance at a biological family. It was a sobering, painful thought, a world away from the idle considerations of the beautiful vulnerability he'd seen in La'an and the considerable charms of Spock Jim had been entertaining while indulging in his Saurian brandy. It was only synthahol, but drinking when feeling melancholic was never a good idea. Sighing, Jim emptied his glass and made to get up. However, he was stopped in his tracks when a blue-clad form slid onto the bar stool next to his. Surprised, Jim glanced over and discovered one of the objects of his previous ruminations. Managing to keep his expression steady, he nodded. "Mr. Spock?" "Lieutenant Kirk." The voice was just as smooth as always, but there was an undercurrent of tension, which translated to the science officer's entirely rigid posture, and most of all, simmered in those expressive eyes Jim had spent too much time thinking of. Sam had filled him in on the rousing song. The pretty nurse Chapel, whom Jim had previously seen Spock playing chess with, had burst into earlier, so he had a pretty good idea what was going on. However, how did one commiserate over the end of a relationship with a Vulcan who technically shouldn't even be able to feel such things as emotional pain? Typically, Jim chose a straightforward course of action. "Care to join me for a drink and a game of chess, Mr. Spock?" "It seemed to me that you were about to leave, Lieutenant." To most people, Spock's response would have felt like a dismissal, but Jim's instincts were telling him something different. Following his gut, he grabbed two drinks from a passing tray and got up with a nod towards an empty 3D chess set and his most charming smile. "Yes, but only because I didn't want to drink by myself and we'd be bad company for Sam or Ensign Uhura. Drinking while playing chess against a worthy adversary, on the other hand, is an entirely different animal. So, will you take pity on me, Lieutenant?" "I must advise you that I drink neither alcohol nor synthahol. The only stimulant I regularly consume is tea," Spock informed him. But he did get up and followed Jim. "However, I was in search of a diversion, and a game of chess seems to fit that description." Without hesitation, Jim deposited the two glasses back onto a tray and asked the server, "Could you bring Lieutenant Spock and myself some tea? Jasmine?" The latter was directed at the Vulcan, who was watching him with a raised eyebrow but agreed with a nod. "All right, two cups of jasmine tea, please." After they sat down, Spock immediately began to set up the board after asking Jim whether he preferred white or black, with nothing more than another quirk of his eyebrow. It felt strangely as if they'd done this a dozen times before, and Jim relaxed into his seat with a genuine smile. "Thanks for indulging me, Mr. Spock. I'd come to a serious realization regarding my personal life, and the idea of being alone with my thoughts for the rest of the night really didn't hold much appeal. This is much better. I must admit to similar feelings." The pause before the last word was obvious, confirming what Jim had suspected. He nodded his understanding, prompting Spock to explain further. "I was attempting to meditate, but found it difficult to reach the required state of mind." "It's been an eventful day," Jim offered. "I think the improbability field stirred up things for many people, and it's natural to need some time to decompress." Playing white, Spock opened the game, and a thrill ran through Jim in anticipation. He'd more or less expected brilliance. But seeing Spock use an incredibly rare opening gambit still sent an anticipatory thrill through him. His mind racing for an appropriate reaction, he almost missed Spock's quiet. "Indeed. Maybe as a Vulcan, I was especially ill-equipped to deal with the raw emotions that were expressed in song." It was an unexpected confession, and Jim was grateful the mess had mostly emptied, leaving them at a bubble of their own. "In my experience, chess provides focus and clarity, something both of us seem to need." Jim had finally decided on a move and grinned in satisfaction when Spock reacted to it with a surprised head tilt. The Vulcan also took his time during his turn, and Jim already began to feel the calm he'd promised his chess partner. Neither one of them felt the need for much chit-chat after that, until about halfway through when Spock said, in a voice that Jim thought held a note of complaint, "Your strategy is highly illogical. Are you certain you are not still distracted by the serious realization you mentioned?" "Trust me, I'm not." Highly satisfied by the fact that his gameplay was just as challenging to Spock as the other way around, Jim made his next move. When the Vulcan once again lifted his eyebrow, this time somehow managing to convey doubt, he explained, "Do you know that feeling of almost relief when you realize that subconsciously you've already made a decision you'd been dreading?" "Vulcans do not let their subconscious dictate their choices." Spock's voice was dry, but understanding flickered in his eyes. I'm sure they don't. And therefore, you would never do anything this human, Jim said teasingly, making sure to catch Spock's gaze so he knew he wasn't really being made fun of. Spock inclined his head and moved one of his pawns up a level. Normally, you would be correct. However, I must admit that in recent weeks, I have allowed my human side more freedom. Doubtlessly, this contributed to my difficulties when attempting to regain my equilibrium with traditional Vulcan methods. Well, I'm happy to help, Jim grinned, feeling exhilarated on more than one level. Not only was he beginning to see a way to win the best game of chess he'd played in years, he never would have expected Spock to be so open, such comfortable company, almost dangerously so, bringing Jim's initial attraction to the Vulcan into sharp focus. A pleasant shiver running through him, Jim couldn't help but add rather more suggestively, "In any way I can." He glanced at Spock through his lashes, wondering if he'd crossed a line. However, while the Vulcan appeared surprised, it was hard to judge to which of Jim's gambits he was reacting, the chess or the flirtation. Jim could live with either one, simply satisfied to lean back and let the warmth Spock's company caused wash through him. "Am I correct in assuming that you are referring to sexual intercourse?" Spock's question didn't sound any different from any other sentence he'd said, which somehow increased its effect on Jim, who was glad he hadn't been drinking right then. Still, he managed to regain his composure relatively quickly. Even if Spock wasn't interested and only curious, Jim didn't regret his overture. After all, no risk, no gain. "If you want. I'm enjoying your company, and I find you very attractive. But I'm just as happy with another round of chess, considering that it'll be checkmate for you in 4. "I share your sentiments," Spock replied evenly, but added with something of a challenge, "although I dispute your claim regarding the outcome of our game." Jim laughed, the pleasure he'd been feeling over the course of the evening shifting gears, moving just a tad lower. Quickly he moved his rook and took in the slight widening of Spock's eyes with satisfaction. After long contemplation, Spock countered, and it was Jim's turn to be surprised, because he immediately saw that the Vulcan had managed to outmaneuver him, despite his best efforts. Stars, that was hot. "Good game," he lauded, feeling slightly breathless. Spock was regarding him closely, curiously, and Jim discovered that having the Vulcan's focus on him added to the low thrum of arousal in his belly. In the same voice Spock used to describe scientific data, he remarked, "Your breathing has quickened by 17%, and your temperature seems to have risen, judging by the heightened color in your cheeks. Also, your pupils have dilated 36% from their state at the beginning of our game. This leads me to the conclusion that your loss has somehow aroused you. Fascinating. This goes against the competitive nature I have previously observed in you." "Not really," Jim couldn't help but laugh ruefully. "It's just that your conclusion is wrong. It's not losing that turned me on, it's you and your brilliant mind. Face it, you're catnip to anyone attracted to competence." "So your sexual desire for me has nothing to do with my physical attributes." Jim really couldn't tell how things were going. If Spock was just satisfying his curiosity or actually open to Jim's offer. However, he wasn't about to retreat now. "Well, I wouldn't go that far. You must know that you're pretty damn attractive, especially to humans."
"I find you aesthetically pleasing as well, and spending time with you has proven to be stimulating."
Spock still wasn't showing much emotion, but his voice dropped and Jim almost shivered at the velvet tones. "However, I feel required to point out that neither one of us is in a position to begin a romantic relationship, should we even wish to." Reaching across the chess set, Jim lightly stroked the back of Spock's hand where it was cupping his cup of tea. "And what about a more temporary arrangement? Is that something you do?" Naturally, Jim wasn't a touch telepath, but that didn't stop him from feeling a spark from the brief contact of skin against skin. Under normal circumstances, I would decline, as Vulcans generally do not experience sexual urges the way most humans do. Sex usually occurs in the confines of a marriage bond or betrothal. However, we've already established that you haven't been behaving like a typical Vulcan recently, Jim inserted with a teasing smile. Spock inclined his head in agreement. That is indeed true. And while, in light of recent events, I have decided to end my experiment and return to more Vulcan ways, I find your offer unexpectedly intriguing, Lieutenant. I'm glad to hear that, Mr. Spock. Anticipation made Jim's nerves tingle pleasantly. However, if we are to indulge ourselves tonight, I must insist that you call me Jim. As you wish, Jim. Spock's gaze sharpened, turned hot, and Jim knew that the time for preliminaries was done. Getting up, he collected both their cups, still half full, after having been forgotten. He felt Spock's eyes on him as he put them away, and something told him that the Vulcan approved. When he turned back, the other man was already standing, and for a long moment they just looked at each other, the air between them crackling with possibilities. Smiling, Jim gestured for Spock to go ahead. After you. After all, this is your ship. We will go to your cabin if that is acceptable. As Jim had expected, Spock felt more comfortable not inviting a relative stranger into his own space, especially considering that his former partner had probably shared it not too long ago, and he accepted without hesitation. This evening was a moment out of time for both of them, separate from their everyday lives. They began their way to the deck containing the officers' quarters in silence, walking side by side without touching, but close enough that Jim felt the warmth from the Vulcan's body. However, in the turbolift, they encountered Ensign Uhura, who Jim had not yet had the chance to thank properly. Any ship would be lucky to have you on board, Ensign. Maybe one day we'll get the chance to serve together. I think I would enjoy that, Lieutenant. Uhura smiled warmly, completely sure in herself, and Jim was impressed by how far she'd come in just a short time he'd known her. And who knows, maybe it'll even be the Enterprise. I get the feeling you really like it here. Jim laughed. Who wouldn't? She's the flagship for a reason, and her crew is exceptional. So what do you say, Mr. Spock? Think there could ever be a space for me here? Right then they reached Uhura's destination, so Spock only answered after they'd both wished the ensign good night. I have not yet had much chance to see you in action, as the saying goes, and considering that Commander Chen Riley has not indicated any desire to leave the Enterprise, nor is she likely to, I am unsure how a transfer here would be possible. They exited the lift and Jim elbowed Spock lightly. I was speaking more of a hypothetical future, as I'm sure you know, but speaking of seeing me in action, please refrain from making a pun comparing your performance as an officer to your sexual prowess, Spock cut him off severely, but amusement glinted in his eyes, so Jim just shrugged with a grin and palmed the door to his guest quarters open. Gesturing for Spock to precede him, he entered, taking the opportunity to let his eyes trace Spock's broad shoulders tapering into a slim waist, the way he filled out his uniform perfectly. Jim was quite looking forward to messing up this perfection. It wasn't how he'd expected the day to end, but he'd always been good at adapting to the unexpected, and it usually worked out well for him. Not wasting any more time, he laid a hand onto Spock's shoulder, purposefully grazing his neck with his thumb. He had no way of knowing what Spock could feel through such contact, so he focused on the heat and anticipation racing through him. Spock stiffened for a split second, then he turned around decisively and crowded Jim against the bulkhead. He was slightly taller than Jim, and of course much stronger, both of which were things Jim found attractive when he indulged in male company. "I can feel it," Spock spoke in a husky voice, their faces only inches apart and their bodies even closer. Your desire, it is appealing. It answered Jim's unspoken question. However, he was beginning to find it difficult to concentrate, so he simply growled, "Good," and pulled Spock's mouth down to his. He hadn't been sure what to expect, but Spock responded without hesitation and turned out to be an excellent kisser. He kissed with purpose, one that Jim shared, and they made their way from the wall to Jim's temporary bed with few interruptions. Having reached their destination, they separated seamlessly to rid themselves of their uniforms. Jim allowed himself a moment to openly admire the Vulcan's well-toned physique, the dark curls on his chest, the trail disappearing into his black regulation briefs. "I must reassess my previous remarks," he teased with a smirk. "Your physical attributes are almost as sexy as your mind." "Almost?" This time Jim was certain of the smile in those brown eyes. However, before he could think of a response, Spock closed the small distance between them and pushed him gently onto the bed. Jim went easily, resting on one elbow while using his other arm to haul Spock into another kiss, his fingers digging into the thick black hair. They also found the tips of the Vulcan's ears and traced down the delicate shells. Spock hissed at the caress, and Jim repeated the motion more purposefully, even as their tongues tangled more deeply. The Vulcan effortlessly balanced himself above Jim, a show of strength that turned Jim on even more. Rocking upwards, his hips began looking for friction, but Spock's body remained tantalizingly out of reach. This required a change in tactics. Giving up on his leverage, Jim laid back completely, forcing Spock to follow him if he wanted to continue kissing. Then he used his freed arm to slip between their bodies, while his legs wrapped around Spock's hips. When he reached his target, his palm pressing against the hard ridge tenting Spock's briefs, Spock's breath stuttered, and his control wavered enough for Jim to roll them over. Chuckling breathlessly, he sat straddling the surprised Vulcan, only for a moment, though, before he leaned down and rolled his hips, finally achieving the longed-for stimulation. Both of them exhaled. Spock's voice rumbled deep in his chest. "I see that here, like in chess, I will have to be on my guard with you, Lieutenant." "I'd like to consider us more partners than opponents in this, Mr. Spock." Jim grinned, emphasizing his point with another roll of his hips. "Also, once again, please call me Jim, at least while we're undressed." Spock regarded him for one long moment, making Jim almost wish he could sense the other's emotion through the expanse of naked skin pressed against naked skin. However, allowing himself to return the intent gaze, he began to realize that he could read quite a lot from the Vulcan, even without the benefit of touch telepathy. Not only was his arousal clearly felt against Jim's own, his skin was flushed slightly green, and his eyes were wide and dark, reflecting not only lust but curiosity. Yes, Jim had no need to feel at a disadvantage. As if to confirm his conclusion, Spock repeated Jim's earlier motion and pulled him down into a kiss, hot and hungry, one hand carting through Jim's hair, the other exploring his back. When they broke for air, the Vulcan said simply, "As you wish, Jim." Grinning smugly, Jim sat back up and finally wriggled out of his briefs. Spock mirrored him, albeit in a much more efficient fashion, and Jim couldn't help but stare when the Vulcan's erection was revealed. As he'd already felt, it was quite similar to a human one in shape and size, if decidedly on the large side, but the green blood lent it a unique color. Most interestingly, he had no visible balls, only a lump where a human scrotum was. Meeting Spock's definitely amused eyes, Jim shrugged wryly. "Sorry, I've never seen a Vulcan naked." Scooting down, he added, "It's been a while since I was with a man, so I can't promise a world-class performance, but I'd like to suck you off." "Please proceed. Considering that I have had only two sexual partners, both without penises, it would be highly illogical for me to judge your performance." Spock sounded as clinical as ever, but from his position, Jim could see his erection twitch. Not wasting any more time, Jim leaned in and took the green-hued head into his mouth, taking a moment to get used to the feeling and taste. He used his hands to cover the rest of the shaft, noting absentmindedly that it was even warmer than Spock's higher body temperature and had more prominent veins. It was also already quite wet, and what he assumed was Vulcan pre-cum tasted a bit like copper. Once he felt comfortable, Jim got to work. Spock was almost entirely silent when Jim alternated sucking hard and exploring the hard cock with his tongue, from the double slits at the top to the bulge at the bottom. Still, whenever he glanced up, the Vulcan's eyes were glued to him, a greenish flush covering almost his entire chest. When Jim took a quick break, he rested his head against Spock's side while his hands kept stroking him in a similar rhythm to the one he normally used on himself. When he could feel a strong, fast heartbeat under his cheek, he looked up at Spock in mild surprise. "Vulcan hearts are located roughly where the human liver is," Spock explained, his voice slightly rough and uneven, and from his spot, Jim could actually feel it vibrate through him. Somehow that was even hotter than Spock's normal tone, and Jim went back to sucking him off with renewed enthusiasm, ignoring his own dick's need for any kind of stimulation other than the press of the mattress. This time, Spock's hands left the sheets they'd been gripping and moved to his hair. After a moment's hesitation that Jim took as a silent question and answered with a hum, they settled firmly on his head. Obviously, the Vulcan didn't use much strength, but Spock appeared unable to stop himself from directing Jim's movements, forcing himself deeper into Jim's mouth than before. Not that Jim minded. After all, he'd been hoping to mess with Spock's self-control, and the Vulcan seemed to sense exactly how much he could take. The taste of copper became stronger, and Jim had to swallow a few times when Spock suddenly froze and easily stopped Jim from moving as well. "Jim." He was definitely out of breath now. "If we continue in this fashion, I will likely ejaculate in 1.4 minutes. As a Vulcan, I will not require a break afterwards, but I felt it important to inform you in case you preferred not swallowing my semen." Jim couldn't help but chuckle. "Oh, women must love you. So polite, and no refractory period to boot. As I have stated, there have only been two. Their feedback, however, has indeed been mostly positive. Hopefully by the end of the evening, yours will be as well." Jim was almost certain he was being teased, and his grin widened. "Oh, I'm sure to leave you a good performance review, Mr. Spock." "I thought you wanted us to leave formalities behind while in bed, Jim." "Yep, definitely teasing." The more Jim saw of Spock, the more attractive he was. Dangerously so. Shaking his head somewhat ruefully, Jim took Spock's still hard erection back into his mouth, going as deep as he could. Taking this as the answer it was, Spock resumed thrusting, his hands cupping the back of Jim's head, once again finding the perfect balance between force and control. Helplessly rocking his own cock slightly against the edge of the mattress, Jim loved every minute. And as predicted, he didn't have much more time than that. Feeling the soft lump at the base of the Vulcan's erection fill and grow, Jim quickly removed one hand from Spock's slick cock, just in time to hold him down, when Spock arched and came down Jim's throat with a deep, guttural groan. It was incredibly hot, and all Jim could do was hold on. That bulge obviously contained quite a bit of cum, yet he didn't mind choking a bit, just lifted off Spock to wipe his mouth once the flow had ebbed completely.
I apologize.
Spock's hand hovered over Jim's cheek before settling on his shoulder, a warm, heavy weight. He sounded decidedly breathless, and Jim loved it.
I did not mean to lose control in this fashion. Trust me, I didn't mind.
Ignoring the slight hoarseness of his voice, Jim made his point by crawling up to capture Spock in a long, hungry kiss. This also allowed him to finally find friction against the hard muscle of Spock's thigh, and he couldn't help but groan loudly when Spock helped him along by gripping his butt. Gasping, he broke away.
Oh, stars, we need to... I don't want to come just yet.
As you wish, Spock agreed easily. I think I would like to pleasure you now. What would be your preferred way?
Well, don't talk like that if you want me to last much longer, Jim laughed breathlessly.
Spock simply quirked his eyebrow and Jim shook his head, hopelessly turned on by the Vulcan version of dirty talk.
Maybe the better question is what you're comfortable with, Spock. You never had sex with a man, after all, and honestly, I'd be happy with pretty much anything.
Spock remained silent for a long moment, thoughtful, but they remained entangled, and Jim noticed that two of Spock's fingers were tracing lines over his skin almost absentmindedly. He wondered if that had any special significance. Maybe Spock could feel his emotions more strongly that way, or more pleasurably? Before he could ask, however, Spock obviously came to a decision.
I must admit to curiosity about anal sex.
Jim almost swallowed his tongue in surprise.
Are you sure? There are plenty of other things two men can do.
Yes. Spock's voice was dry, but his fingers had stopped their meandering, his palms resting lightly, hesitatingly, against Jim's shoulders. It is something that I never expected to be able to experience. Except, do you not wish to penetrate me, Jim?
A bark of laughter escaped Jim.
Fuck, Spock. Of course I want to. If you're sure. I would not have suggested it otherwise, Spock said primly, which struck Jim as rather hilarious, considering his current state of undress and visibly returning arousal. As if reading his mind, Spock pointedly raised his eyebrow. Unless you want me to play coy, as I believe the saying goes. Part of Jim was burning with curiosity, how much Spock was actually picking up through their physical contact. The other couldn't care less, distracted as he was by the feeling of Spock's body pressed against his. Shaking his head, he leaned in for another kiss, savoring the heat that immediately sprung up again between them. After a long moment, he lifted himself off Spock to get the necessary provisions, grinning when the Vulcan's lips instinctively chased after his before Spock lay back down. Ordering lube from the replicator, Jim felt Spock's dark eyes resting on him, and once more he wondered what was going on in the Vulcan's head. Was he as surprised as Jim about how they'd gotten here?
Every step had felt completely natural. But if someone had told Jim this morning that he'd end the day sleeping with the hot Vulcan science officer, he would doubtlessly have laughed himself silly.
Still, Jim had never been one for what-ifs, so he rejoined Spock with nothing but anticipation coiling in his stomach. He'd always prided himself on being a considerate lover, taking pleasure in his partner's pleasure. It was a bit of a double-edged sword in this case, because giving Spock head had turned him on to no end. Still, he figured he could wait a bit longer to make sure this experience was a good one for the Vulcan.
"Have you ever touched yourself back there?" he asked, sitting down on the edge of the bed and letting one hand wander down Spock's flank, where he could feel his heart beat fast, and over his well-toned butt. His other roamed the Vulcan's chest, something he hadn't really had the chance to before, enjoying the feel of coarse hair under his fingers.
Spock let him explore for a moment, still regarding him with that intensity that should have felt uncomfortable, but instead felt almost like a caress to Jim.
No, I do not generally experience sexual arousal or attraction unless I am with a partner. However, Vulcans possess complete control over all muscles, therefore I do not foresee problems with penetration. Somehow Jim's mind tripped over the implications of the first sentence even more than the second, and his heart jumped unexpectedly. Once again, something in Spock's eyes shifted, and he wrapped long fingers around Jim's wrist, his thumb tracing over the sensitive skin there, making Jim shiver. He couldn't help but ask, "Why do I feel you can read my mind sometimes? You're not actually telepathic, are you?"
"No. Vulcans cannot read thoughts by simply touching someone. However, I can sense emotions, especially through prolonged skin-to-skin contact." Spock's eyes were warm, warmer than before, as was his voice, and he continued to hold Jim's hand gently in his.
"And yours, Jim, feel very open to me. Your mind is very inviting, even without a proper bond or meld between us."
Helpless to do anything else, Jim leaned in for a kiss, slow and sweet.
"Stars, I'm in trouble," he whispered into the small space between their faces when they broke apart.
A complicated emotion passed over Spock's features, but finally he simply nodded.
"I agree."
He'd released Jim's wrist and used the same two fingers as before to trace up and down Jim's in a gesture that seemed to hold more meaning than a simple caress. They remained silent for a while, caught by the awareness that they were on the edge of something neither one of them was ready or available for. However, when Spock spoke, his tone was even.
"Are you still willing to penetrate me? If not, I can pleasure you with my hands or mouth."
Jim's laugh held only a trace of nervousness.
"No, I would like to very much, Spock. Whatever this is, I'm sure we'll figure it out."
Voice dropping slightly, he added, "I wouldn't want to miss this for the world."
"Once again, I am in agreement."
They fell into another kiss, which both of them deepened quickly, letting the heat simmering between them build again, breaking the tension of the last few minutes. Then Spock turned onto his stomach, stuffed a pillow under his hips, and looked over his shoulder like a centerfold straight from Jim's imagination.
"I believe this position is optimal for both parties."
It was true that Jim usually preferred looking his partners into the eyes during sex. However, in this case, he agreed wholeheartedly, not only because it was going to be physically easier for Spock, but because not looking into each other's eyes would hopefully help them keep boundaries he was pretty sure neither one of them had expected to need. He knew he certainly hadn't. Even after his initial attraction and the connection they'd formed across the chessboard had led them into bed. Nothing to be done about it now, though, because Jim sure as hell wasn't going to stop. Not with Spock in his bed, presenting his gorgeous, well-muscled back to him like temptation personified. He ran his hands down from the wide shoulders to the narrow hips and over the firm ass, uncapping the lube. Leaning down, he pressed a kiss to Spock's neck and asked,
"Are you ready?"
"I believe so," was the simple response. And when Jim carefully slid a slippery finger between the Vulcan's butt cheeks, the ring of muscle was indeed already loose enough to allow easy entrance.
"Very useful," Jim chuckled and sucked lightly on Spock's ear, enjoying the way he shivered, even as Jim slowly moved his finger in and out.
Not wanting to waste time, he added a second and third finger with the same ease. Spock seemingly completely relaxed around the unfamiliar intrusions. Then the tip of Jim's middle finger felt a fleshier, softer spot, and Spock groaned into the pillow, suddenly no longer relaxed.
"So Vulcans did have prostates," Jim smirked, targeting the spot thoroughly while adding a fourth finger.
Spock continued making small sounds, deep, breathless groans that turned Jim on so much he caught himself rubbing his cock against Spock's thigh. At least he could see that the Vulcan was also seeking friction from the mattress below, even more lost in the moment than Jim. Jim stopped him with a firm hand on his lower back and gently removed his fingers.
"Spock, are you ready?"
Yes.
Spock turned his head and Jim drew in a sharp breath at the sight. The Vulcan looked debauched, with his pupils blown, hair mussed, and a greenish tint flushing his sweaty skin.
I did not expect this. You.
Leaning up, Jim caressed Spock's cheek and smoothed down the wild hair.
"This is really doing a number on you, Spock. Maybe we should stop?"
"No."
The head shake was decisive, and Spock twisted further to catch Jim in a deep kiss, as if to prove a point.
"I simply did not account for the different intensity your touch has in such an intimate location. I have now adjusted."
"Oh, the touch telepathy again. Maybe for Vulcans, fingering was akin to rimming for humans?" In any case, Spock did look more composed already, and had turned around again. Jim kind of hoped he'd make him lose his composure again once they were actually fucking, and gently motioned for the Vulcan to get up on his hands and knees, which he did easily. Squeezing his eyes shut, Jim gathered his own composure as well as he could before adding lube to his erection and slowly beginning to push inside. He entered smoothly, but despite Spock's muscle control and Jim's careful preparation, he was tight and hot inside. He was also incredibly responsive, pushing back in counter to Jim's movement. Soon Jim was sheathed completely, only to pull back out and rock forwards again, setting a steady, slow rhythm that inexorably pulled him towards the edge. Gasping, he gripped the Vulcan's hips tightly for control as much as balance. Spock tensed and arched, and Jim stopped moving immediately.
"Sorry. Are you okay, Spock? Should we slow down?"
"No."
The answer was gratifyingly prompt. Then Spock took a deep breath before continuing in an approximation of his normal tones.
"However, if you were to manually stimulate my penis, I will reach orgasm quite soon."
"Quite soon?" Jim teased, even as he wound an arm around Spock's middle, feeling a bit ashamed for having been too caught up to remember this basic courtesy. He found the now familiar erection just as long and hard as before and wrapped his hand around it.
"My internal chronometer seems to be malfunctioning."
Spock sounded tightly controlled. Too much so. Because pressed together as they were, Jim could feel him tremble with tension. Pressing a kiss between the Vulcan shoulder blades, Jim used his free hand to stroke along his side, as if gentling a shying animal.
"That's as it should be,"
he said softly, accompanied by another kiss, this one to the side of Spock's neck.
"Let go. I've got you."
He'd forgotten about this. How intense the first time surrendering yourself like this could be. It wasn't really about both of them being men. Because, of course, one could do this with partners of all genders, and Jim was very aware that physically Spock could easily overpower him. However, he suspected that the Vulcan had never been held like this, had never allowed himself to be vulnerable to such a degree, neither with his Vulcan bondmate nor his human girlfriend. Ignoring any misgivings he had about boundaries, about the future, about anything except this moment, Jim gently slipped out of Spock and motioned for him to turn over, which he did easily. Still, he looked somewhat confused. But when he opened his mouth, Jim quickly shushed him with the finger against his lips.
"Let me."
It was half a question, one Spock answered with a slightly hesitant nod. After tracing the bow of the Vulcan's lips, he removed his finger, replacing it with a gentle kiss before sitting up with a warm smile. Settling between Spock's legs, he folded one leg up and stuffed a pillow under the Vulcan's lower back. Understanding dawned in Spock's eyes, and he shifted into a better position, lifting his other leg and resting it on Jim's shoulder.
"I am ready, Jim. Please proceed."
Jim didn't need to be asked twice. When he ran a probing finger over the ring of muscle between Spock's butt cheeks, it once again gave quite easily, allowing him entrance. So Jim didn't waste much time, just slicked up his still hard cock and slowly pushed back in. It was just as good as before, better even, because Jim could watch Spock react, from the look in his eyes over the way his mouth parted to the green-fleshed erection laying against the paler skin of his flat stomach. He was gorgeous, and Jim kissed him again. Spock met him eagerly, lifting his hips a little so his erection rubbed against Jim's abs while their tongues tangled hungrily. When they parted, Jim was almost shaking with desire. He poured lube over Spock's cock and wrapped a hand around it, the other he used to hold Spock's leg up. Afterwards, he moved back until only the tip of his dick was still inside the Vulcan's tight heat, before sliding back into the hilt. A shuddering breath, close to a moan, escaped Jim, and Spock arched his back, his arms grabbing Jim's shoulders, trying to bring them even closer.
"I am ready,"
he repeated hoarsely, demand rather than reassurance. And Jim finally allowed the heat that had been curling in his belly for so long to burst into flame. Keeping his eyes locked on Spock's, he began fucking the Vulcan in earnest, their bodies rocking in counterpoint, Spock's erection hard and hot in Jim's fist. Pleasure crested through him, and he bit his lips sharply to keep himself from coming, He needed Spock to get there first. So he made sure to graze the Vulcan's prostate with every thrust and did his best to set a matching rhythm with his hand. If Spock's chronometer was broken, so was Jim's, time a blur as they both lost themselves in a blur of sensation and desire. Finally, a sound escaped the Vulcan, a deep and reverberating growl that almost sent Jim tumbling after him when Spock came in long spurts, his inner muscles tightening around Jim's cock. For a long moment, aftershocks ran through the Vulcan's body, and Jim held himself perfectly still despite his own body's demands for fulfillment. When they'd subsided, Spock lay still, regarding Jim with the same gaze he bestowed on the wonders of the universe. His hands, which had been holding on to every part of Jim he'd been able to reach, ran from Jim's shoulders to his face, long fingers tracing over his cheeks as if looking for something. They hovered over his temples long enough that Jim almost asked what Spock was waiting for. Instead, the Vulcan took a long breath, visibly regaining some composure, and shook his head lightly, clearing it or answering a question Jim didn't know. He felt that something had passed, a decision made, and without knowing why, he felt wistful, almost sad. Doubtlessly feeling his reaction, Spock gave him a look of silent apology before pulling him into a kiss so full of intent and focus that it was hard to remember anything else existed. Then the Vulcan tightened his inner muscles again, and Jim groaned into the air they shared. A definite smirk hid in the corner of Spock's mouth as he repeated the motion and rocked upwards at the same time. "I believe it is your turn." It didn't take long after this. Jim had been hovering on the edge forever after all, and after a few deep, hard thrusts that Spock met with gusto, apparently never having heard of overstimulation, he barely managed to ask, "Should I pull out?" In response, Spock just pulled him closer, folding almost in half in the process, and Jim came, panting open-mouthed against the hot, sweat-damp skin of the Vulcan's neck. Tremors ran through him. His orgasm seemed to be never-ending after the long time holding it at bay. He might have slipped out of Spock, but he was being held by strong arms and a leg slung around his thighs, keeping him firmly in place. Hadn't he thought about Spock's surrender of control earlier? Now it was his turn, and Jim let himself go, let the pleasure wash through him in a long, cresting wave. Finally, his cock softened and Spock released him. If he winced at the loss the way Jim usually did when the roles were reversed, Jim couldn't tell, but that might be because his head was still swimming in endorphins. He remained resting with his face more or less mashed against the Vulcan's neck, but at least managed to roll to the side enough so that he wasn't lying directly on top of him.
"Are you all right?"
Spock's voice rumbled through his chest, rousing Jim somewhat from his stupor. Raising his head slightly, he met the Vulcan's inquisitive eyes and grinned ruefully.
"I should be asking you this. Sorry, Spock. I'm afraid you've tired me out."
"There is no need to apologize, Jim. I understand that fatigue is quite normal for human males after coitus." Jim was almost certain he was being teased, but he was still a bit too out of it to be sure he read the micro-expressions right.
"As for myself, I am perfectly well. Our encounter has left no lasting physical damage. The bruise you left on my right trapezius will be healed in 2 days, even without a dermal regenerator."
"Bruise?" Now Jim hefted himself onto his arms to give Spock a proper once-over. And yes, apparently, at some point he'd bitten down where Spock's neck met his shoulder.
"Shit, Spock, I'm sorry. Let me get a regenerator."
"As I said, there is no need." Spock used 2 fingers to move Jim's chin so he was no longer looking at the mark he'd left. Not letting go, he added softly, "I find that I do not regret bearing a mark of our encounter, even if it is one that cannot be repeated."
Ah, the return of reality.
A strange mix of warmth and wistfulness squeezed Jim's heart. Spock nodded slightly, and Jim knew he'd felt it, Still, he forced himself to reply in a light tone. Maybe not, but it definitely will be remembered.
Indeed, Spock agreed, and without further need for words, they moved apart.
Jim didn't bother dressing, simply slipped under the blanket and watched while Spock got out of bed gracefully, showing no other signs of having been thoroughly fucked than the mark, which soon disappeared under his shirt.
Vulcans,
Jim chuckled under his breath. Spock looked up from where he was putting on his boots and raised his eyebrow, but Jim waved him off.
Ignore me. I'm just appreciating the view as long as I'm still able.
You will see me tomorrow, on the bridge. Spock corrected him primly. You are not scheduled to return to the Farragut until the end of A shift.
Jim's smile grew.
You're a tease. Anyone ever tell you that?
No, the Vulcan replied curtly, but his eyes were warm.
And now I will bid you a good night, Lieutenant Kirk. Leaning back against the headboard, Jim met Spock's gaze.
Good night.
See you tomorrow on the bridge, Mr. Spock. When Spock turned away with a nod, Jim couldn't help but give voice to the quiet hope that had taken root somewhere inside him. And who knows? Maybe in the future our paths will cross again at a more opportune time. Such speculation is illogical and fruitless. His back still to Jim, Spock paused before continuing in a tone like a confession. Yet somehow, I hope that this future might come to pass. With that, he palmed the door open. Jim's heart did a strange flip in his chest, and he called after the Vulcan. And whatever happens, there's always chess. Already out in the corridor, Spock gave him one last glance over his shoulder. To any passerby, he would appear exactly as he always did, as he replied evenly, I am looking forward to a rematch. Jim couldn't stop grinning long after the door had closed behind his unexpected visitor. No matter what form this rematch would take, chess or something else, something infinitely more dangerous, he knew himself well enough to know that he was up for it.
The end.